today as we come to the table.
This is a lesson that the children of Israel needed to learn. It's a lesson they hadn't learned yet. They were wrongfully worshiping in their hearts things they shouldn't. Now it's going to be manifested in making this literal golden calf as they're going to worship this idol. Because, you know, it's interesting. I think one of the reasons people worship idols and make things that remind them of God is because they've lost his presence. If you lose the presence of God, that is, if you lose the recognition of God's presence, you begin to try to create something so you can get it back. If you feel God's presence and you have that relationship, you don't need something to remind you of God. You don't need a thing to look at and say, that reminds me of God.
When you spend every day with the Lord, you get to know him well. You read about him in the Bible, you sit and talk with him through prayer, and you discover the joy of being in his presence. Each moment you take to fellowship with your Creator is valuable. But when those sweet encounters start to get farther and farther apart or disappear altogether, do you notice you lose the sense of God's presence being with you? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will share the danger today of letting go of your time with the Lord. It can lead to wrong priorities and looking for God in all the wrong places. Don't let that happen to you. With that, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 32 and join Pastor Mark and the Israelites for the beginning of his message, Don't Have a Cow.
Let's open up our Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. What an amazing chapter. Let's just pray and ask the Lord's blessing on it. We have a lot of territory to cover tonight, and I've been asking God to help me not only to cover all the territory, but to be able to make it applicable for y'all in your lives. You know, the Word of God is awesome, but unless it's applicable, what good does it do? So I'm asking God to make it applicable. I'm asking God to speak to our hearts, and let's just do that together and just ask for God to help me tonight to be able to minister to him and to be able to minister to you guys as he speaks through his word. So, Father, I do pray that tonight, Lord, sometimes when I think about how inadequate a human is to really proclaim your word and in any way, Lord, try to teach your word or to share with your people what your word says, it's really a rather daunting task. Lord, only you can do that. So we get out of the way now. We ask that you would now speak to your people, Lord, even as you spoke to Moses, even as you spoke to Joshua, even as you spoke to the children of Israel, supernaturally from heaven, Lord, I ask that you would speak to us tonight, supernaturally from heaven. Lord, open our hearts to hear, open our ears to hear. God, get us ready to receive what you have. This is a holy moment, and I pray your holiness would pour out on us, Lord, that you would help us to see the golden calves we have in our life. Lord, sometimes it's easy to see an idol. It's easy to see things that we make with our hands, but as believers, sometimes we make things in our heart. And no one can see them but you. And yet you see them. And Lord, you say that it is unacceptable. As we sang tonight, no other idols. Let there be no idols before you, Lord. And so I just pray that we would be totally devoted to you in our whole heart, not half-hearted, but our whole heart, Lord, devoted to you and giving you glory. So pour out your spirit, teach us by your spirit, and minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now tonight, as we get into chapter 32, and that's all we're going to cover. You know, we covered like three chapters at a time the last couple of weeks because it's really just been a lot of description about what was going on and what God was describing to Moses. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Basically, what went on for 40 days and 40 nights with Moses while he was up on Mount Sinai. But we're going to slow down here in chapter 32 and take just this chapter tonight and really examine our hearts about whether or not we have any golden calves in our heart. What do I mean by having a golden calf? You know, I entitled tonight's message, Don't Have a Cow. And that's what I mean. We shouldn't have anything in our life that exalts itself above the Lord. And oftentimes in the scripture, we see that the calf is that symbol of anything that gets between us and God, anything that would make us unholy, anything that would make us turn away from the true God and follow something we shouldn't be following. And we see the children of Israel in Egypt worshiping the cows. We see them worshiping the calf now in the wilderness. We see them even worshiping the calves and the cows setting them up when they came to the promised land. And you wonder why the cows, why all the cows, you know? And they didn't even have Chick-fil-A yet. What's with the cow thing, right? You know, I've shared this with you guys before, but it's interesting to me. Satan's greatest desire is to be worshipped. And the Bible says that Satan was a cherub. And then when it describes the cherubs that surround the throne of God, the Bible says that he was a cherub that covers. He was next to the throne of God. And why he chose this one, I don't know. But one of the four faces of a cherub is what? It's a cow. It's an ox. And I believe the reason you see cows consistently worshipped around the world is because it is Satan desiring to be worshipped. One of his faces, the Bible tells us, is the face of a cow. That is one of his four faces. And I believe that why he doesn't, you know, choose man, maybe because there isn't a man he wants the world to look to right now. It's interesting because he not only uses cows, one of the other face, the face of an eagle, we see people worshiping nature. So you have the nature worship, you have the cow worship. We do sometimes see people worshiping men. I mean, so you look at all the different elements of what makes up the cherub in the faces they have. And, you know, you can see how Satan desires to be worshiped. But for some reason, the cow seems to be the one he keeps coming back to. And when you think about it today, you know, you think about, well, we don't have idols. I mean, come on, we don't have golden calves in our home. We don't have that. And probably, unless you come from a Catholic background or so, you don't even have idols in your home, such as idols of Mary or Jesus or whatever else it might be. So that's not a part of your life, maybe a part of your background, but you've come to Christ, you've realized, you know, the error in that, and that's not a part of your life anymore, whatever the case might be. So for most of us, that's in the evangelical circles, a physical or visible idol is not really an issue. But see, this is where it comes into play for us. And this is very applicable to us, guys, because I've been tempted to do this in my own life, and probably you have as well, idols in our heart. And what do I mean by that? Listen, a golden calf, a false god, an idol, anything that becomes your master passion is a golden calf. Anything. Can a believer love sports? Yeah, but if they love sports more than God, what did it just become? A golden calf. Go down the list. We list all kinds of things. I'm not going to try to pick everybody's thing here, you know, to make us all feel bad, right? There's nothing wrong in all these things. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. I remind us of that on a regular basis. But remember, if they ever become more important than the Lord and they're put on the altar the way the calf tonight will be put on the altar, it's wrong. And the only thing we can do with it at that point is to burn it and destroy it and crush it and scatter it. And we'll see that's exactly what Moses does tonight. You know, when I came to the Lord, I didn't worship music. I really didn't. I was a musician. I was playing music. I was trying to make it in the music world. I wasn't good enough, thank the Lord. Because if I had been good enough, you know, if the world starts to adore you, you ever wonder if you would really turn and adore God? You know what I mean? Some people may, some people may not. I don't know what I would have done, but I thank God that I wasn't good enough because I worry if I had been good enough, maybe I'd have never come to Christ. I don't know. So by God's grace, he made me bad. But the bottom line is, guys, is that when I came to the Lord, God spoke to me very clearly and said, put your guitar down. I'll never forget it. It made no sense to me. I mean, I was like a new Christian. I knew God said it. And I'm thinking, all right, God speaks to us, and I'm expecting to read the word, and he's going to say, you know, there's going to be a holy cloud into the room. Oh, and I hear, put your guitar down. I'm like, what is that? And for a while, you begin to think, is that really God? What do you mean, put my guitar down? He made it very clear. You know how God does that? He makes it very clear, put your guitar down. I put it in the case for 6 months, never took it out, never touched it. And after 6 months, I heard him say, now pick your guitar back up. And I realized what God was doing was God was making sure that I had the right thing on the altar. Because if the guitar was on the altar, he could never be. So first the guitar had to be in the case. God had to be on the altar. And then I had to be altered. And then I could pick the guitar back up. And we'd all be in one accord. Sorry. Some of you guys have been tempted, and maybe even tonight you realize you've got something on the altar that shouldn't be there. And you know the Lord. You love him. He loves you. You're not lost. You're not unsaved. You just need to be altered. And you need to take what you've got on the altar and say, Lord, you know what? Does that really matter? Does it really matter? What really matters is the Lord. You know, we talk about it's all going to burn one day, but guys, really, everything is going to just dissolve one day with the elements. It's gone, everything. And the only thing we're going to have left is what we've given to the Lord in our life. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about our life. What we've given. If we've given our life to the Lord, I'm yours, Lord. It's all that matters. Nothing else is going to matter. And so this is a lesson that the children of Israel needed to learn. It's a lesson they hadn't learned yet. they were wrongfully worshiping in their hearts things they shouldn't. Now it's going to be manifested in making this literal golden calf as they're going to worship this idol. Because, you know, it's interesting. I think the reason, one of the reasons people worship idols and make things that remind them of God is because they've lost His presence. If you lose the presence of God, that is, if you lose the recognition of God's presence, you begin to try to create something so you can get it back. If you feel God's presence and you have that relationship, you don't need something to remind you of God. You don't need a thing to look at and say, that reminds me of God. He's always with you. But when you lose that closeness with the Lord, when you lose that relationship or you don't have it, you're looking for something you can create to give you that closeness. And I think that's what leads a lot of people not only to the literal idols, but also the idols that we have in our heart. And so God wants to work everything out of our hearts that we would have before Him that would put us in bondage. And so we're going to see Him do that with the children of Israel tonight. Now, there's a lot to cover, so I'm going to jump into it. But before we do, a little background. For the last 40 days, Moses has been up on top of Mount Sinai in God's glory. And while he's in God's glory, he's been getting very practical information. What we read over the last 2 weeks, you know, all the chapters we kind of went through quickly. You know, I kind of just read through them because there were a lot of facts and statistics and all that. And I kind of purposely just zipped through it kind of quick, not because it wasn't important, but we're not building it right now. So we don't need the details as much as to see what God was instructing Moses. God is giving all that to Moses. He's telling him how to make the tents, how to make all the rings, how to make the tabernacle, how to develop the court. All that that we read has been happening over a 40-day period where Moses has gone up by himself on the mountain. Now remember, as Moses went up, Joshua went up with him halfway. Joshua's there. Moses up at the top. The children of Israel are down there in the valley. And the bottom line is the children of Israel are still very fleshly. They just come out of Egypt, which is a representation of the world. They love the world. They have their heart, you know, their heart's filled with the world. And it's one thing to have the pastor right there every day, but what happens when he's gone for over a month? And so the pastor leaves for over a month, and here's something we don't do very good. Even as a believer, I don't wait very good. How about you guys? I don't wait. You know, it's kind of interesting that in weight training, I got injured, you know, because I'm not good at waiting. It causes me injury of spirit, you know. I want things to happen now. I'm that kind of person, let's do it, let's go. You know, let's just, you know, whatever. But God tells us there's times I want you to wait. I want you to wait on me. Don't rush it in your flesh, which I have done way too many times, and it causes trouble in your life. If you're that kind of personality like I am, you've run into that kind of trouble. Waiting is hard to do. And now God tells this group of people who are by nature fleshly, they've not really committed to the Lord yet. God brought them out of Egypt, but they're still living in their heart for the flesh. Now God sends their pastor away. God is making them wait until they get their instructions for their new building or whatever the thing is they might be waiting on. In this case, that's what it was. And they're impatient. So they want to make something happen. So they do the logical thing. They build a golden cow, get naked, and dance in front of it. Now I'm being silly, but that's what we're going to see they did tonight. That's really what they did. They reverted to the lowest levels of the flesh while they're waiting on God because that was where their desire was. And would to God that we would get to where when we're waiting on the Lord, we wouldn't run to the things of the flesh, but we'd run to the things of the Spirit. Now that's maturity. Moses now 40 days up there. He's having this glorious time with the Lord. They're waiting 40 days. I can imagine, you know, Moses going off and saying, you know what, look, I'm leaving for 40 days. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. Just Aaron, run things for me, okay? And he comes back and that's what he finds. You're not the best assistant at that point, if you follow me. And so now we take up in verse 1. Notice what it says. When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, again, this is 40 days, the people gathered together to Aaron. They said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. Now, the problem was Moses didn't come back down quick enough for them, and they began to grumble and want something to happen. Come on, pastor, do something. You've waited long enough. Let's go. Come on. And I can tell you as a pastor, I feel that temptation sometimes when I see needs or things that need to be done. You know, with the changes going on here at the church, one of the things that I've been talking to Tracy about, you know, the real temptation is just to run out and find an assistant pastor. I can't do that. I've got to wait on God. I've got to let God raise somebody up. I've got to let God lead me to somebody. I've got to let God send somebody in. Because if I do that, it's going to be a product of Mark. You follow me? And although the desire is there to do that, that's what's happening in their hearts. They're saying, hey, Moses is not doing anything. Come on, let's get something going. Don't just sit there, Aaron. There's things to be done, things to do, and they're going to do it the entire wrong way. And notice this, why would they look so quickly for something or someone else? Because their heart and their eyes were not on God. Their eyes were on Moses. They were looking to the pastor, in other words. Guys, let me just, I know I'm going to say this and it won't stick. Don't ever look to the pastor. Some of you it'll stick, some of you won't. Don't look to the pastor. What if I fail? God forbid that I ever fail, but what if I did? Let me ask you this. If you found out next week that Pastor Mark fell, what would that do to your walk? Just think about that for a minute. What would it do to your walk? Would you be sad and yet go right on as normal? Or would you be devastated and maybe walk away from church? Oh, they're all the same. Every pastor's, nobody walks with God. I'm not going to either. What would be your response? Listen, I don't think we know until that happens, but I'm saying we need to challenge ourselves. We can't be looking to our pastor, can we? We've got to be looking to the Lord. And the mistake they made here is they were looking to their pastor. Now, they had a good pastor. You don't get much better than Moses. But because Moses didn't move quick enough for him, you know, as God was leading him, now we see there's problems in the camp, so to speak. And so they're taking things in their own hands, trying to get things going the way they want them to. And again, anytime we look to an earthly leader rather than God, we're always going to feel let down and disappointed. If you guys look too much to me, you're going to feel let down and disappointed. I try my best to walk with the Lord. I try my best to be a pastor as an example to you guys, but I'm a man. So we have to learn to look to the Lord to make sure that he's the one that we have our eyes on, because he's the only one that's never going to totally disappoint us. You know, I mean, ladies, there's only one man that'll never totally disappoint you. Who is that? It's the Lord. Men, there's only one friend that will never disappoint you. Who's that? It's the Lord. And so we have to be gracious with each other and realize that we struggle in these fleshly bodies and all this, but their eyes were in the wrong place. They're looking to a man who, and they're saying this man brought them out of Egypt. The man didn't bring them out of Egypt. The Lord brought them out of Egypt. And so now they're complaining. And here's where Aaron now. Aaron gets tested. This is not just a test for the people. This is a test for Aaron, because Aaron should have stood his ground. We're going to see that Aaron was very weak at this point. He didn't stand his ground in righteousness. He didn't stand his ground in holiness. And God's got to do a work in Aaron as well. And so God's got to train Aaron further. God's got to burn junk out of Aaron. God's got to make Aaron the man that God wants him to be. You know, I was told when I started the ministry that God will make the man before he'll make the ministry. And a lot of men want to go out and have the ministry explode and all these things happen, and they want this great ministry and all that for whatever the motives might be. But you know what? Until God makes the man, the ministry won't take off. And Aaron still had a lot of molding to do, as we're going to see. And it's funny, because although he had a lot of molding, we're going to see he starts molding a golden calf tonight. Isn't that ironic? Look at verse 2. It says, and Aaron said to them, so they come to him, hey, and they say, we don't know where Moses is, so what are we going to do? And so Aaron decides just to do something, right? Rather than wait on God and say, well, let me pray. You guys pray. Let's just seek the Lord, which would have been the right thing to do. Notice what he does. He said, all right, I got an idea. Break off the golden earrings, which are in your ears, the ears of your wives, rather, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. You talk about weak. All it took was one complaint, and Aaron was willing to abandon God's word and jump back into idolatry. Pretty scary, isn't it? And this was their, you know, assistant. So, and you know, we see the same thing in churches today. People become dissatisfied with what God has given them. They, you know, hey, we want more. We need, you know, something else to happen. And so they begin to pressure the leadership to do something. It's interesting. Aaron's name literally means light bringer. And now instead of bringing light, what's he going to bring? He's bringing darkness. And so it's a warning not only to pastors, to myself, it's a warning to us as priests of the Lord to make sure that we're seeking God, to find out, God, what do you want me to do? Guys, I want to encourage you. If somebody ever pressures you to do something that you don't feel you should do, just stop. Say, let me pray about that. Don't feel so much pressure that you have to give in. Just stop and say, let me pray and wait on the Lord. You know, God is never in a hurry. And God is more than able to do what we need to have done if we'll just wait on the Lord. So Aaron says, break off your earrings, bring them to me. Notice, so all the people broke off their golden earrings, which were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Unreal. And they said, and then he said this, look, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You know, but just wanted to pacify the people. Now, I tried to imagine what this God, I mean, what a huge mistake here for a pastor or a Christian to make is to fear people, to give in to them, and to compromise to what you know to be God's word. I've done that before. It's devastating. You've got to stand your ground for what you know is right, even if people don't like it. Because you've got to, in your own family, in whatever ministry God gives you, in your workplace, stand your ground for righteousness. And if they don't like you, they don't like you. But you know, you lose friends, but you're going to keep the friend that matters. And that's the Lord. We have to stand our ground no matter what people think, no matter what our culture thinks, and make sure we give God all the praise and all the glory here. And again, amazing, after seeing what God has done for them and then seeing the statue of gold, to believe that this is the God that brought them out of Egypt. I mean, this is just amazing that they could do this. And I start thinking about this because he made this thing really fast. He makes this God. It doesn't tell us how long it took him to make it. And the next day they're going to have this party. And so it would appear that he put this thing together rather quickly, molded it and fashioned it. And I think about, you know, I mean, Aaron was, he was a pastor. He wasn't a carpenter. So I'm thinking, what did this thing look like? I mean, if I was to go and put together a golden calf, I mean, pieces of wood, just hammer nails sticking out everywhere and try to melt some gold and pour over and go, this is your God, O Calvary Child. I'd be like, what? You know, that wouldn't even be a good workhorse, you know, that you set up to do your work on at home, you know. And I'm thinking about what this thing must have looked like. I mean, this was probably wasn't anything great. Matter of fact, why don't you, do we have some of those slides, Jim? Start showing some slides of golden calves. And I'm not saying this is what it looked like, but I wanted to give you guys a little visual of that tonight to see the golden calves and some artist rendering of golden calves, if you will, from that day. But I doubt that, you know, Aaron's looked this nice. You know, I mean, again, Aaron was a pastor, not a carpenter. And so and he throws this thing together in no time. Here's your God that brought you out of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, notice this, he saw this. He built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. So the people are driving him crazy. He gives in to the people. He compromises. He makes this false god. Says, now you can celebrate tomorrow. There's a feast to the Lord. And this is what's amazing. Although it's a false god, he still says we can worship the Lord with it. And guys, that's a mistake that people still make today. You can't worship the true God with an idol. It's a false thing. And people still do it. They did it back then. They're still trying to do it today. And Aaron gives in to the fear of man. Again, builds this altar. Look what the fear of man will do. It's amazing. God had said no idol worship, none, zero. And Aaron gives in, does it, and notice what happens. And this is what's amazing to me. Look at this. They get this false god, and look at verse 6. Then they rose early on the next day. Now, isn't it amazing how much effort we can put into our sin life as compared to effort to seek the Lord? It doesn't say they rose early to seek the Lord. It says they rose early to rise up and play. Notice, to offer burnt offerings, they brought peace offerings. People sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. That means in a sexual way. The language there means they literally were stripping their clothes off and becoming sexual. That's why I made the comment I did earlier about dancing before this golden calf and all. It was total sin and debauchery going on in the camp. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, when I lived in the world, it was amazing the effort that I put into sinning. I put a lot of effort into sinning. I mean, I would really work hard at sin. And I find that in the world, sometimes I worked harder at sin than I work in seeking God today. Isn't that amazing? Flesh is an amazing thing. So they rise early to offer these things to God, supposedly. They rise up and play, it says. And again, it was just a big party, basically, is what's going on here before this golden calf. Now the scene switches back to Moses. Moses has been up there 40 days, they're having this wonderful time with the Lord, and suddenly God sees what's going on down in the camp, and then God turns to Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, go and get down. Notice this, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. God's like, they belong to you, man. They don't belong to me, you know.
While our time at the table of God's word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and his awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for his people. His love and care for them is what compels him to do unheard acts to prove that he's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for his people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and he wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and his unrelenting loyalty to his people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus. is. So we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.